idea. No, that's your mic over there. Didn't mess it up too bad. Don't y'all love baptisms and graduations? I love those. Those are great impact pieces. They're great. Not every church, I mean, every church should be doing baptisms, but we have something unique here where we get to do, graduations. It's pretty awesome. And really looking forward to seeing what God's going to continue to do with Stephen. And so, it's a good piece, Very excited. We're going to be in Luke chapter 13 this morning. As you turn there, we're going to look at a parable of the fruit, the parable of the barren fig tree, verse 6, 7, 8, 9. So, Luke chapter 13, 6 through 9, preaching out of Holman or CSB version. But I just want to share a couple of things with you again. Just want to put it in your head that we do have revival. We have revival tomorrow night, 6:45. Just want to give you time to go after work or whatever to eat or whatever and then come over. So you have plenty of time. We'll do that Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So Monday is Steve Ayers, which is his church is in Ohio. And Tuesday night is local pastor from here, Central Christian. That's Chris, and then we have Don from the Gary, Indiana area. So looking forward to that. So, but I always believe that revivals, they kick off in the evenings, but I believe it also kind of begins in the heart of the people before we get there. So I'm praying today that this message will soak into your heart, and then that we'll learn as we go this morning. But it is good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. So I really want you to think about yourself this morning. Think about people that you know and where your relationship is with Christ and where the relationship is well. Because don't fool yourself. If you're not close with God right now, you are not where He wants you to be. God is not looking for a long-distance relationship with you. He wants to be close to you, and He will be close to you, but you got to have the desire and hunger to be close to Him. Our revival theme is be the church, but to be the church, I believe you got to work on yourself, and that's what we're going to work on this morning. I'm going to let these guys talk about the church this week. But if you are not where you need to be with the Lord, you need to get there. And I want to tell you, some of you are playing a game and you keep thinking, I'm going to do it tomorrow. I'm going to get right with God down the road or when I want to. And I'm telling you, God wants to get you, He wants you to get right with Him right now. Right now. But there's a parable. There's a parable here. It's a short, fictitious story that Jesus would use to illustrate teachings in biblical ways and what He wanted to get people to understand. He would teach them through parables. This is a very short one, but it's very, very powerful. Verse 6, he said, and he told this parable, Jesus shares this parable. He said, a man had a fig tree that was planted in his vineyard. He came looking for fruit on it, and he found none. He told the vineyard worker, listen, for 3 years I have been coming looking for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it even waste the soil? But he replied to him, sir, leave it this year also until I dig around it and fertilize it. Perhaps it will bear fruit next year. But if not, you can cut it down. Wow. It's pretty hard. Let's cut this thing down. Just want to help you out a little bit. The man here is representation of God. Fig tree is people, and the keeper is Jesus, and the vineyard is Israel. But we also can use it in our lives today. Jesus is trying to share with the people and just do this parable that most of us are not listening. The man seems to be disappointed here. He had a vineyard, expects things. Expect it to grow, but he waited a long time. And he came looking for fruit. We read a lot about and we hear a lot about God's love. Do we not? Amen? We hear about God's love and God's patience. But I want to also remind you, besides God's joys, patience, and understanding, and love, and mercy, and grace, and all those things, sometimes God's patience, it has a measure. How many of you are praying still for a lost loved one? How many of you are still praying for a lost friend? How many of you are praying for a believer that has walked away from the Lord that you love? Or how many of you have been praying or upon your heart for someone in your family or one of your children, one of your nieces or nephew that had said that they had a relationship with Christ but not living it, and now they're living as a prodigal child of God? I'm afraid that the fire that is in, that should be inside of us as a believer of sharing the gospel, sharing and testifying what God is doing, what God has done in our life, is starting to become just an ember, just a little bit of a glow instead of being on fire. Because when things are going well in our life and we have a good job and we tend to be looking at our finances and things seem to be going well and our children are healthy and our marriage is going pretty decent, we tend to just start coasting. And when we have problems in one of those areas, we put our focus on that one thing, and then we may or may not go to God and ask for help, but we are going to try to work it. But there is a thing that's still in common, that we are not where we need to be with God in our relationship with Him. We've lost that fire and that hunger for those that are lost. We've lost that fire and hunger for God Himself. God sounds good as an idea. God sounds good in our past, but how does God sound good in the present? It's not about what your words say. It's about what the Holy Spirit testifies to you. He's the only one, truthfully, that can tell you where you are. Because we will lie to ourselves and say that we are better and closer to Him than what we really are. It sounds pretty hard when He comes and He says, I've been looking. I find no fruit. I find nothing. I find no fruit. I want you to cut it down. That sounds pretty hard. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, because we can see through John 3:16 that God does love us. For God so loved the world. But we see a piece here where we see that the vineyard worker says, just give me some more time. But the man here speaks and he says, prior to that, he said, I've been coming down, I've been waiting for 3 years. 3 years for some kind of fruit to come off of this fig tree. You know how long Jesus' ministry was here on earth? About 3 years. Israel didn't want to have anything really to do much with Him. As a nation, there were people that did. They would flock to Him because they needed a miracle. They flocked to Him because they wanted, had some issues in their life, with demons and those kind of things. But those who were supposed to be religious, those who were supposed to be Pharisees and Sadducees, they did not. They did not want Him there. But we see here that we see a struggle here. But there's kind of a disappointment. The expectations are not high. Just produce fruit. The tree is alive. It has leaves. But it has no fruit. You can come and be part of this church. You can join this church. You can look alive, but if there is no fruit, you can sing, you can do all kinds of things, and you can tell people that you have salvation, but if there is no fruit, you're exactly this parable is talking about. God continues to come back and wants to know, where is the fruit? He is not asking you to talk. He's not asking you anything. He goes and he says, where's the fruit? He is observing your life and looking at where is the fruit. Where's the fruit? He doesn't see it. Cut it down. It's wasting soil. Where do we come from? Dirt. From the ground, God made Adam. Breathe a living spirit in him. And it sounds hard because God says, the wasting of the dirt. It's a wake-up call is what it is. This verse is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. Why should it even waste the soil? But we see a piece of hope here. But he relied to him, sir, leave it this year also. It says, leave it another year. The odds of us even being that this same group would be here, exactly the same group here would be here next Sunday, is pretty much impossible. There will either be one more person that wasn't here, someone else out. This is the group that is here at this time. This is the fig tree that he's talking about. And he says, give me 1 year. 1 year, I want to work on this fig tree. 1 year, we should be able to say, even though we don't, listen, we find and we meet people in our life, in our crossroads, or in our family that doesn't know Christ, and we don't stop praying for them to come to Christ. Amen? This should tell us that we shouldn't give up praying for those who don't know Christ. It tells us that we shouldn't stop praying for those that are prodigals, that are living away from God, that we don't. Because we should be awake in the Spirit. Seeing, knowing that we understand what this scripture is. This church has a lot more young people than it has elderly people. But a lot of my pastor peers are running, they're pastoring churches with a lot of elderly people in it. This reminds you of one day, this church also, you, that'll be a part of this church in the future, you, every year you get older. And you will get gray hair. Time keeps ticking. But when it comes to life, there comes a time when time is done. Earthly time for you, it is done and it is over. And so the vineyard worker understands that and says, listen, just let me have it for a year. Don't you take God for granted. Don't you think you have another 6 months or a year. You may be the healthiest person in this church. But you will never know, you do not know when it's your time. Death angel comes and it's your time. It taps you on the shoulder and you're not getting out of it. It is designed, it is time for you to go. And you know that there are a lot of, everybody doesn't pass away at the same age. Not everyone passes away on the same month or the same day or at the same time or in the same way. But there's a lot of time for me to pass away. There's a lot of time that you also will breathe your last. And so we have to be that we know that those who have Jesus Christ have eternal life. That is our promise from God that we get through Jesus Christ. That if we ask, he comes into our life. And salvation becomes part of your life. And this Holy Spirit dwells inside of you. You become a believer in God. You believe in Jesus Christ and who he was and who he is. And you receive that salvation so death doesn't hold you. But it actually kind of releases you to live eternal life. But for those who do not have Christ, are cut down and separated. But the worker says, just give me another year. He says, I'll dig around and I'll fertilize it. What he's saying is, I'm going to put some work in it. And I wonder how much work we're really putting in sharing the gospel, in sharing what Christ has called us to do in many different fashions and forms. But you can't jump on everybody else's bandwagon. God is looking for fruit in your life. He's looking for you to be like Christ, digging around in those who are lost and those who are separated, those prodigals, digging around in their life, fertilizing it with a word called perhaps, the word of hope. It will bear fruit next year. Going to keep working it. Going to keep working it. Listen, some of your parents are destined in an eternal separation from God. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. And some of us are some of our brothers and sisters are separated. Our grandparents are separated. Quit playing a game that you cannot win. You cannot win a life without Christ. You cannot win a life and overcome the things and obstacles in your life without a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't do it. You can't do it. You cannot do it. And you that are Christians, quit playing around and acting like you got everything and you can hide things from God. And you know what? Prodigals know they can't hide things from God. But they still try to hide things from God. And you can't. And God will begin to do this thing of removing His protective hedge from around you and allow it to be down. And you begin to reap the consequences of your choices. You begin to reap it. I am glad that someone interceded for me when I was 12. You know why? Any of you ever wake up and think you're not worth it? Anybody wake up and you say life's not worth it? Why am I even getting up this morning? Why does then nobody really cares about me anyway? Listen, we all have little self-pity parts, but really sometimes those are serious thoughts. Some people get to the point where they want to check out of the world. But we're hearing a story about Christ says, give me another year. Basically, this is a parable saying, give me some more, give me more time. Give me more time. Because I say, Eddie, some of you don't even know Eddie, but Jesus doesn't care if you know him or not. Jesus says, he was worth it. He will look at Evan and say, Evan is worth it. That's why I came and died up on the cross to win and lead people back to a relationship with Christ. Jeremy has a crazy bad history of sin and vile, the sinful things. I'm not saying what they are, but you just lived a very sinful life. But now he's living a redeemed life. Because Jesus began to dig around it, began to fertilize it, and when the Father comes back, there's fruit. Pop, 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 pop. It's all God's looking for is fruit. Fruit has changed lives. Savannah, I'll pick on Savannah. Savannah comes, there's things in her family that doesn't go with the way certain people may think of biblical ways, but broke out of that. I remember her just being so shy sitting over here somewhere, just so shy when say two words. Now you don't do something right, she'll get and she'll say something because she works here. But you know what? God plucks people out of families that are struggling or don't believe in God or just very, very different, but it's different because it's just not God's way. It's just different. Sometimes, let me tell you, different is not good. If it's different from the gospel, it's not good. I remember Chris coming in down the street. Chris was a high school student. Who's this kid coming in? Oh, an awesome young man, deacon in the church. People look up to him, but when he came in, he knew nothing. God began to put fruit. Because how it started, it starts with salvation. But also I want to remind you, sometimes you can go to a tree that has a lot of fruit, but you don't pick it because the fruit is rotten. That's my version of prodigal children. Have a relationship with God, not letting God do His work in them, not letting God do what He wants to, not letting God fulfill His will in their life, and their fruit starts to rot. And one thing about rotting fruit, no one wants to eat it. It's not used for anything good. It just needs to fall down. You know how you change rotten fruit to good fruit? Well, some of that digging and fertilizing, you know what that is? Digging and fertilizing is hard work. Jesus did the hard work. It's called repenting. You repent. Talking to the Father. And talking about that fruit that's rotten. Too much of us have rotten fruit in our lives. Too much of us are trying to act like we have good fruit, but we don't have good fruit in our life. And bad fruit, you know what it does? It attracts bugs and insects and all the things that ends up destroying the whole tree. So many Christians start off great. And they get caught back up in the world in the fruit that they were growing off of their lot in their lives. Starts to shrink up. And the fruit gets rotten and it falls to the ground. And the next thing you do, you come back and you look at that tree and those limbs are starting to die. And the tree ends up dying. That also could happen in a church. If you look in Revelations, the church of Sardis, the dead church. You may look alive, but you're dead. I know this. There are still some people that I know that there is no fruit at all. And I know that time is ticking. And if I am not praying for them, I can't trust other people. I need to be a part of that. I need to be praying for them. You need to be praying for those that you know that don't know Christ. You need to be praying for those who have a relationship with Christ but are not living for Christ. You need to be praying for them. The world is not turning to the church anymore because I think they see no fruit or a lot of bad fruit. Our country's in a mess, not because of all the politicians, but because of the church. The believers have turned into a different direction. And now we're beginning to have bad fruit. The scripture says, let me have it for one more year. Let's dig around it. Let me dig around it. Let me work on it. Let me fertilize it. And I worked in landscaping for a lot of years. And I can tell you this, when a tree was on, there were some things that you can do before it actually dies. And fertilizer sticks was my best friend. Three spots in a triangle piece. If it's super big, you can do four. You can box it, and you just hit those big sticks in with a hammer, whatever it is, and you come back, and that tree's better. And you water it, and you fertilize it. You spend time with it. I am so thankful that somebody spent time in my life in my early days that shared the gospel with me. Work some things around my life. Next thing I know, after salvation, I started producing fruit. My first ministry was working on a bus. I was scared to death. Go out there and knock on that door to get those kids in the bus. I was 13 years old. When you were back in those old Baptist churches, when you came 13, you served. Where are you going to serve, young man? Where are you going to serve, young man? Where are you going to serve, young lady? And you do that. But as you grow, you start serving. And you know what happens? There comes a point in your life where you start to get tested. Your faith gets challenged. Your faith gets tested. Or you get away from the church because you moved. You did this and that. And you go through a test. And all of a sudden, you might look in your tree. And you look and you start seeing that there's a little bad fruit. A little bad fruit affects the whole tree. Then you get to the place in your life, you're wondering why things aren't working out. Why everything that you touch doesn't work. And you find out that you don't have that good fruit no more. And all along this whole time, you've got the Holy Spirit working in your life. And nobody has to tell you. You that have the Holy Spirit, you know when He is convicting you. He is on you. You know that He loves you, but you can't even talk about it because you feel convicted. You know the weight of your junk. You know that you got bad fruit. And when He ends up, He's calling you to come to Him. And you know exactly what He's saying. It's time to get right. It's the only way you can shake the bad fruit. Is let Him cut it off. But He's not going to cut it off unless you get with Him. So you can start to bear fruit. Because you can't bear good fruit when you got a bunch of bad fruit. You have to repent. You have to get right. You have to come back to Him the way that you went to Him in the first place. Father, I know today that Your Spirit and You, Lord, I know Your will, that You desire for us to draw close to You. But when You draw us close and we want to be close, sometimes we struggle with it. Because sometimes we have bad fruit. And there may be some here today that have no fruit because they have no salvation. I pray, Father, for the time that You give to us now, that Your will may be accomplished in each person's life. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand.